This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest with me, Sumitra Selvaraj, and Lim Suan, as well as T. Xiao. It is a lovely Friday, and as always, we have two stories for you today.
First up, with the UK general election set to happen next week, the Labour Party has announced that they plan to provide free broadband across the UK if they win the elections. So we discuss if access to internet should be a human right and what that would mean. So the UK general elections, as I mentioned, is happening next week. But to be honest, yeah, I personally haven't kept up much with it. I've been quite tired of all the Brexit news that's been happening for years now. But no, what I did see, what did catch my eye was the Labour Party's election promise to provide free broadband to every British household by 2030 if they win the election. So to do this, they've said that they plan, the party plans to nationalise the broadband infrastructure business of British Telecom, BT, and partially fund that with a tax on internet giants such as Facebook, Google. And I don't want to get into, and there's been some backlash to this, but I don't want to get too much into the politics of it. What I want to focus on is this idea of free internet access, because doing this has been seen by some as an implicit view of access to internet as a human right.
Is the internet so embedded in our lives that to deny access to everyone in the world makes it a breach of human rights? Well, you know, before you say anything, well, apparently the United Nations thinks so.
Of course, they rule the world, don't they?
So back in 2016, the UN Human Rights Council passed a non-binding resolution condemning countries that intentionally disrupt citizens' internet access. So the resolution built on the UN's previous statements on digital rights and reaffirms the organization's stance that the same rights people have offline must also be protected online. And in particular, this links to the freedom of expression covered under Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yeah, but even though that the resolution was passed by consensus, a number of nations, minority number of nations, including Russia, China, South Africa and India, did put forward amendments.
Minority, but big. Countries.
Agreed. Good point there. And the resolution is also, very importantly, not legally enforceable.
That's right.
But it puts some pressure on governments as well as to provide support for the actions of digital rights advocates around the world. And at that time, the decision by the UN to target internet shutdowns was particularly relevant as governments have started freely using this method as a means of controlling citizens in what even appears to be minor methods.
So on digital rights access group Access Now has been documenting internet shutdowns since 2011. So just to give you some statistics in recent years, in 2016, there were 75 internet shutdowns worldwide. In 2017, this went up to 106. And in 2018, 196 internet shutdowns. And data from 2018 showed that India was the main contributor to this, numbering at 134 cases overwhelmingly. And with the second highest number at 12 in Pakistan.
And when governments usually shut down the internet, they often give reasons such as national security, public safety, fake news or hate speech nowadays as their justification for doing so. But according to Access Now, they find that, so after they've done analysis on these cases that they've noticed, they find that the actual cause which triggers the shutdown is not necessarily the same as what the government says, the government say it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So instead, the analysis finds that the top three reasons for governments to shut down the internet tend to be political instability, protests, and communal violence. Though there are cases where they shut down the internet during election times to control information or even to prevent election cheating.
And goes without saying, right, that the internet has become a necessity for quite a few of us. In fact, a recent paper published in the Journal of Applied Philosophy argues that there's a strong case for free internet to be a basic human right. The paper's author, Merton Riglitz, is a philosopher and a global ethics lecturer from the University of Birmingham in the UK. And he wrote that, and I'm quoting here, "Internet access is a unique and non-substitutable way for realizing fundamental human rights such as free speech and assembly, unquote.
Non-substitutable.
Well, the argument from him is that going online now is so essential to participating in modern life that doing without it puts people at a serious disadvantage in terms of those who want to stay informed, those who want to get their voices heard, realizing their fundamental human rights, or perhaps nowadays we see more and more running businesses and those sort of activities. So Riglitz points to several examples in his paper. So the Arab Spring of the early 2010s, the Me Too campaign in recent years, the documentation of unjustified police violence against African Americans in the US. He uses these instances as examples of ways where internet access has provided freedom, justice, and safety to marginalized groups because the people are using the internet to publish videos or statements about these instances. And I guess the internet gives you a much wider reach than you would have. You wouldn't without it.
And a level playing ground, almost. So in another opinion piece on The Conversation, he added that when some people gain internet access, their opportunities to exercise political rights become much greater compared to those without the internet. And so Riglitz argues that it's not a luxury, but a moral human right. And this means that, he says, everyone should have unmonitored and uncensored access to this global medium, provided free of charge for those unable to afford it.
The first part of that sentence is not going to sit well with many governments.
Yeah, and really the ones who need it the most are the ones who are most likely to find that right being suppressed.
Agreed.
Yes, so to get a better understanding of what this means, right, if we do have a right to internet access, what it means from a legal perspective, is it implementable? So earlier today I spoke to advocate and solicitor Louis Liao, so he does work that focuses on digital rights. And I first asked him, what does it mean for both citizens and the government to have an enshrined right to internet access in the law?
Basically, right to internet access is, I mean, it's also known as the freedom to connect, is that the view that all human beings, we as humans, we have the right to access to the internet. And that is because we need now in the current world and this digital era, that we need the internet to properly exercise and enjoy our other rights. For example, the freedom of expression, the right to information, etc. And therefore, we should have also the right to access the internet. And to the states, to the government, it would mean that the government should have a responsibility to ensure that internet access is available to its people, and that the states should not, without reason or disproportionately, restrict anyone's access to the internet. That is the basic understanding of what it means when we say right to internet access.
If it is recognized as a human right, what are the challenges in implementing a right to internet?
So in 2016, the United Nations did have the Human Rights Council, which Malaysia is not a part of. In 2016, they have a non-binding declaration that says that internet access is a human right. So this is the, one of the latest developments. Now, in 2019, actually, which is this year, the India, one of the high courts, actually also declared that internet access is a human right. Now, as I say, Malaysia is not part of the Human Rights Council. So as of today, Malaysia did not has not recognized that internet access is a human right. Now, if we do recognize it as a human right, then the natural cause of it is that the government should protect that human right. And that means that the government should, number one, should not unreasonably restrict somebody's access to the internet. Should not, for example, amongst other things, shut down the internet, block websites unreasonably without reason, etc. And also that the government should ensure there is access to the internet generally across the country. And that would mean that the government should have policies and plans in place to help people, whether it's from the urban area or the rural area, to have access to the internet.
And what about then, is there a possible conflict then with censorship laws?
Just like a lot of fundamental liberty under our constitution, a lot of the freedoms are not, or liberties are not absolute in the sense that they can be restricted, provided that it falls under the permissible restrictions and also that it is proportionate. So, for example, the freedom of expression is also not absolute. We cannot say something that is defamatory. We cannot say something that incites violence against people. So the same would be with the right to access to the internet. We have the right to access the internet, but there can be sensible, proportionate censorship of websites. For example, child pornography, for example, terrorism content. These are the things that can be censored, and it would not necessarily violate your human right or constitutional right.
Mm-hmm. Is it then fair to, I mean, considering that, for example, for a country to implement right to internet access plan for the whole country, right, it's going to be costly if it is recognized as a human right. Is it fair to ask all countries whether they are developed or developing to implement this?
Yeah, so that's the difficulty that we are facing now. Internet right to internet access is not a situation whereby we can say definitely that it is a human right or it is not a human right.
Mm-hmm.
More the conversation is still at a stage whereby whether it should be seen as a human right. Now, then it would come with the second question. If it's a human right, is it a negative right, whereby as long the government don't restrict your right to access the internet, the government is doing fine? Or is it a positive duty on the government, whereby it means that the government should actively make sure that everyone has access to the internet? Now, if it's the latter, meaning that the government has a positive duty to ensure this human right, then yes, you can see a huge problem between different nations, and in fact, even inside the country.
Mm-hmm.
We can should be able to ensure that in urban areas such as the capital like Kuala Lumpur and Penang, etc., that we have access to internet. But it may not be so easy, or otherwise it would be extremely costly to ensure that all the rural areas, even in the deep sites of Sabah and Sarawak, to have access to internet. So it may be very difficult to call it a human right and also impose a positive duty on its government to implement and to ensure that human right.
Mm-hmm.
And the question to that is that when we say the right to access to internet, we are also talking about the right to access to affordable internet or free internet. Now, if we say that as long as access, it is fine, then the government could easily say, okay, you have access to a 2G internet. But that is extremely slow and it's almost unusable in this current age.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be considered a compliance to the requirement of providing that access? Or that is not sufficient. We should ensure that it's high speed and also affordable internet. Then only it qualifies as having ensured the access to internet, right?
Mm-hmm. So then on that note, the government announced the National Fiberization Connectivity Plan a while ago. Do you see that then as a move forward in improving access to internet for everyone and potentially in the future a sort of indirect way of saying that there is a right to internet access?
Yep, I think that is the fiberization plan is definitely a good move, and credits must be given to the minister and his ministry on making this move. And Malaysia has been known to have one of the most expensive and yet slow internet for the longest time, and fiberization is much needed to speed up and lower the cost. Now, that itself is really an improvement, but although we have one of the slowest internet, actually our internet access penetration rate is quite high. It's up to 80 to 90%. So in the sense of having access in Malaysia specifically, we do generally have access. It's just that we have been paying a lot for a very slow internet. And the fiberization plan will be one way to lower the cost and speed up the internet. And that is something that is good.
So that was advocate and solicitor Louis Liao. What do both of you think? Do you think internet, the access of internet should be a right?
When you put it alongside the right to life and liberty and the right of, you know, to freedom of expression, the right to be free from torture, the right to internet access seems a little, I don't want to say flippant, but it doesn't carry, for me, the same weight as, you know, the right to work and education, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what if we come to a day when internet access is the only way to work and receive an education?
Or
it becomes one of the fundamental building blocks that facilitate the process. And I think freedom of expression is one of the easier ways to see that being linked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the internet gives you that platform to express yourself to an audience that you would not otherwise have. I mean, you're right. When you put them together, it seems off balance.
Mm-hmm. But you're also right in making me see that human rights have evolved over the ages.
Yes.
When they began, or when the notion of them began, not everybody had the right to work in education.
Not everyone had the right to vote.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're right. It has evolved. And yes, what happens, what will happen if one day the internet evolves to the point where it is an intrinsic part of our lives that cannot be separated from the way we live and lead our lives.
Yeah. But I also feel that simply, and Louise mentioned that there's a positive duty on the government to also ensure that the internet is accessible, if you're saying that it should be a human right. But, you know, giving people access or free or affordable access to the internet is one thing. Do they know how to use it? Internet literacy then would be the next step as part of that, you know, fulfilling that human right.
Knowing how to use the internet properly and not just scrolling through your social media.
I mean, being a responsible citizen online, especially, again, when it's linked to freedom of expression and ensuring that people are not abusing it for discrimination.
And it's not just a freedom of expression, right? It's the right to expression. So if you're saying that the right to expression is a basic human right, and you're saying that the right to an internet is also the basic human right, then there cannot be, as far as I'm concerned, caveats on both.
But then we do have caveats on both. Like, when you look at censorship laws, there are caveats on both. And I guess nowadays with internet, when you look at the extent of cyberbullying as well and trolling on the internet, that again goes back to the point where having access to the internet doesn't mean everyone will use it responsibly. Mm. And you don't want people to have internet and use it simply to attack other people without basis, and sometimes on an anonymous from an anonymous standpoint.
Mm. Well, I'm going to be a bit of a Grinch about this, and I'm going to say no right to the internet until we sort out right to life and liberty and freedom from torture and slavery.
And really basic needs. If we're still talking about communities that do not have access to clean water, let's sort that out first. You're right.
Yeah.
Well said. That's all the time that we have for this story. But please do stick around after these messages, because we're going to be moving on to our second story. This is Know Your Rights by The Clash.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.